Up next, Lori Spagna joins us as we will be talking about human awakenings and also animals in the afterlife in just a moment, animal telepathy as well. Lots to talk about in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Lori Spagna back with us. And Lori is a best-selling author, spiritual catalyst, intuitive energy healer, and ascension guide. Also an animal communicator, DNA activator. She's got all these special gifts. She has helped transform the lives of thousands of people and animals around the planet via her channeled ascension guidance. Lori assists others to awaken their alignment with the true divine source, which exists within all of us. And she's a noted author as well, including some of her books, Animals in the Afterlife, Learn Animal Communication and Telepathy, How Psychic Are You? And Lori, understand you're working on a new work.
I'm always working on something. These days I'm working on a latest update about living in the fifth dimension, the new paradigm.
Super. We'll talk a little bit about that tonight, too. I want to wait until your book comes out so you can come back again.
That sounds wonderful. Thanks for having me, George.
My pleasure.
I'm so excited to be here.
How have you been? What's new?
I've been wonderful. Everything's going great. Lots new. Everything's new, always new with the animals and with us as we're all evolving and shifting and changing. So I know we have a lot to talk about.
Animals are very special, aren't they?
Yes, they really are. You know, what I say is that they really are our teachers and guides here, and they're helping us to really develop the virtues within ourselves that they already have. So for them, they really are embodying some of the most amazing virtues that we're just really, as a human species, beginning to cultivate in ourselves.
How did they get so sensitive? Not only in terms of telepathy and communication, but, you know, also they're used in police work. They've got an incredible sense of smell. I mean, they will give a suspect his sweater to a dog, and off the animal goes and looks for the person. How did they get all these abilities?
Well, what I always say is that animals are the ultimate empaths, and they're speaking a universal language of energy. And we're learning that language now. We're, as a human race, beginning to learn that language of energy. Empaths and sensitives are teaching it, you know. So, but the animals have that, and they basically, through their language of energy, it's a universal language of love. They don't have to analyze with their left analytical brain. They just know. They know it. So, let's say, for example, they feel in their environment stress or anxiety. They don't have to identify it as stress and anxiety. They just know that's what it is. Or if in their environment there's the energy of joy or happiness, they just know.
Is a dog or a cat more sensitive than the other breed?
Well, I think they're both in different ways. Cats are generally what we call interdimensional. And they're really great at identifying beings in non-physical, interdimensional realms. So, for example, they can see entities or other non-physical beings that we might not know that they're there. We might not be able to see them with our physical eyes, but they might be, you know, in the realms of the non-physical. And the cats are very good at sort of, the best word I can say is sort of absorbing them so that they don't interfere in their humans' lives. And then typically the cats are like carriers for a little while of them, and then they sort of help them to get moved on and move out.
I've been a dog owner most of the time. I've had one cat with our family. I was doing an event years ago with Purina, and they brought a small kitten into the event as part of the event. And after the event was done, they didn't know what to do with the kitten. And I said, what do you mean you don't know what to do with the kitten? They said, we don't know what to do with it. And I said, I'll take it. So I took it and brought it home to my kids, and they loved it, called it Patches. And that was really my only exposure with a cat, but this thing was magical.
They really are. They have gifts and talents that we, again, it's the same kind of concept. They have gifts and talents that we are just beginning to learn about. So, yeah. And I always say, you see, what happens is with the animals, because they speak this universal language of energy that we're learning as we advance as a society, They basically, they feel and sense everything in their environment, just like we do, and they do it with their extrasensory abilities. They also mostly, for example, all cats, all animals are mostly, their brainwave is for the most part on a theta brainwave frequency. And us humans, most of the time, we're using a beta brainwave or delta if we're sleeping, or if we're just kind of like mellow or light meditation, we might be in an alpha. But the animals are mostly in a theta brainwave. And so because of that, they're picking up and they're knowing things through this telepathic brainwave, that if we learn how to tune into that telepathic brainwave, that theta brainwave, that's where we can learn to communicate with them. So all animals have that ability, including us. We just have to train ourselves to learn how to do that.
Now, in one of your books, of course, Animals in the Afterlife, tell me about that. That's an incredible title.
Yeah. Well, because you know what the thing is I'm of the I'm of the knowing that we never die. You know, we transition out of physical form.
Yes, we keep moving on, don't we?
Sorry?
We keep moving on, don't we?
Yes, we keep moving on. And so the animals are the same. You know, a lot of people on Earth don't necessarily yet recognize animals as fully sentient, conscious, sentient beings, but they are. And just like us, when they transition out of their physical form, their consciousness continues, and they advance or grow or develop just as we do. And many times animals, especially animals who live with humans, tend to be guides for at least some time for their humans. In other words, after the animals transition, they become guides and sort of like non-physical guardians, guides, teachers in the non-physical for the humans that they lived with. That's one of the most amazing things about animals in the afterlife, that they continue to stay around their human, and they'll stay for as long as they typically feel that the human needs them or that they can be of service to the human. So even though they transition, they're still connected to the human for quite some time, provided that the bond was very strong. So in some cases where a human-animal bond might not have been as strong, that transition, when the animal transitions, they might not stay around that human for as long just because they're ready to move on and the human's not necessarily as attached to them.
How do they have the ability to sense when somebody's going to pass over?
Well, isn't that a fascinating subject? This is the thing. Animals, because they are so extrasensory, they are not only able to read the energetics of the humans they're around or the humans that they're connected to, but they also have soul contracts and agreements with us. And the animals also have the ability, in a very conscious way, although at the same time not in the same linear brain way that we might, they have the ability to access what's called the Akashic Records.
That's right.
So the Akashic Records are a field or a frequency where information about our experience, really all information, is stored, and their consciousness can tap in there. So they know if a human is getting sick or physically ill from that frequency. But even in a more physical way, because they're so, you know, clued into their human's experience, they can read the biorhythms of the human's body. So this is why animals can be so effective in serving humans who might have physical diseases, because they can identify body temperature changes,
sure,
hormonal
mm-hmm.
changes. Another thing is, we know when animals just use their sense of smell, they can identify all kinds of information about either the human or the animal that they're smelling, including, you know, gender, stage of where they are, like for a female, where they are in their menstruation cycle, all of this, and so much more. So this is why they can identify, like, if someone's sick or if someone needs physical care.
They even can sense mood changes, can't they?
Yes. Oh, they can sense mood changes so easily. And any animal parent or human who's the guardian of an animal definitely knows that their animals can tell, right, when a human's, you know, in a bad mood or something, or, you know, happy.
And they know when to come comfort you, too.
Yes, Yes, they totally comfort us, especially if we're sad or having any kind of, yes, any kind of emotional.
Now, when you talk about animals here in your work, you're talking primarily about dogs and cats. I mean, you're not talking about birds or crocodiles or anything like that.
No, all animals fall under this. It's just that different animals on Earth have different roles. So animals who live with humans, their primary role is to sort of help the human, facilitate that human's learning. So either they're there to be healers or teachers to the human, and oftentimes they're also, you know, of course, they're there to have an experience as well. But animals of the Earth who are more in the wild, whether they're birds or alligators, whales, dolphins, whatever it is, they have roles and missions too. And their roles and missions tend to be more aligned with what's going on the Earth. So, for example, since we referenced the Akashic Records, the elephants, for example, are keepers of the records of Earth.
Huh.
And so when you learn to communicate with an elephant, well, any animal, but if you communicate with an elephant, they can easily share with you information about the Earth's history. And by the way, in this case, like, you know, when you're learning something from an animal in that way, they'll never lie to you. They don't lie, which is really helpful if you want to know more of the truth about our Earth's history, for example. And just one more piece on that, like, for example, the whales and the dolphins are keepers of the records of the waters and all marine life, and including all marine animals. So if you want to know more about the history of the waters of the Earth, for example, and you know how to communicate with a whale or a dolphin, you can ask all kinds of information about that. So all animals have purposes and information and energy. Depending on their unique species, they have a particular role.
Years ago, I was taping one of my Beyond Belief television programs, Lori, and the show had to do with a turtle. And the owner brought the turtle in, and I was communicating with the turtle. And I got to tell you, this thing was reacting to me. It was bizarre. I mean, I've had little turtles when I was a kid, but this thing was a big box turtle, and he'd stick its neck out, and, you know, he'd listen to me, and then he'd go back in, and then he'd kind of communicate a little bit. It was strange.
What was he saying to you, George?
Why am I here under these hot lights? Really?
I think that's really fascinating. And see, I love that you said that, because it's really true. We can all communicate with animals, and it's not hard to learn. It just requires us to practice, to train ourselves to interact in a different way than we typically do.
Our special guest is Lori Spagna. Her books are called Animals and the Afterlife, Learn Animal Communication and Telepathy, How Psychic Are You? 7 Simple Steps to Unlocking Your Psychic Potential. We're going to talk a little bit about the human awakening when we come back. And that's the work you're working on now, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm working a lot on the new paradigm and what's going on with the new paradigm, and also how animals are helping us with that as well.
And you deal with different dimensions, too, don't you?
Yeah, one of my favorite things to do is to connect with consciousness in all the different dimensional realms, and I can channel through information, energy, and consciousness from dimensions way beyond our physical earthly dimension.
And, of course, we're going to take calls next hour. If you are an animal owner, share some of your stories with us, because I'm sure some of them are riveting. I mean, I would guess every animal owner has some kind of fascinating story about their animal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no question about it. How about yourself?
You know, what was it? Speaking of elephants, I'll say one time.
You have a pet as an elephant?
No. I was on a tour in Africa, and I got very close to an elephant, and this elephant looked me in the eye. It was an eye-to-eye contact. And within about 30 seconds, I saw my whole life in front of
me. Wow. Horses do that, too. They've got that ability.
Horses are amazing. Horses are teaching humans how to feel safe and free, and how to trust. Those are three of the themes that horses really are here serving humans, to learn to trust in what is trustworthy, to know how to trust self and be free and let go. Isn't that fascinating?
There's some people who just don't like animals. You don't have to own one. I mean, I don't have one now because of my travel requirements. It wouldn't be fair to the animal. But some people don't like them. Why is that?
Yeah, I don't really know why that is, but I do think that as we're evolving on a planet, you know, we're learning that we're all learning magnanimity, which is one of the qualities that animals teach, one of the virtues that they have. And that's the ability to love even what we might not like, to understand that everything is lovable and everyone is lovable. Everyone and everything, including Earth and nature and, yes, animals, are worthy and deserving of love.
By the way, you're giving out a few free gifts to our listeners, I hear.
Oh, my goodness. I would love to share those free gifts for
sure.
People who want to learn animal communication and telepathy. I have some great free gifts about getting started with learning how to do that, and that's at laurispagna.com/free-gifts/animals. And there's more. If people want to learn more about some of this ascension-related work, they can go to laurispagna.com.
Why don't you spell that out? Even though we've got the link, spell it out for people.
Sure. It's my name, L-O-R-I, S as in Sam, P as in Peter, A-G, N as in Nancy A, laurispagna.com/free-gifts/, and I'll say this one is starseed, if they put the word starseed on the end, and they'll learn more about ascension and what this new wave is and how people are interacting with beings from the stars, which I know is a really exciting topic.
Great times. Do you believe in extraterrestrial life, don't you?
Yeah, I had a first contact experience. So for me, it's not just a matter of belief. For me, it's a knowing. I feel like that for me is not even a question of whether I believe. I had
a near-death experience too, if I recall.
Yeah, well, so a lot of times when someone has a near-death experience, what happens is through the transition experience, we pass through these so-called dimensions, and that sort of lights up our light body in the non-physical or through the higher dimensions, and that sort of sends a signal to many of these, what I call star family races, who are of more benevolent caliber. And when we light up that way, and we come back in physical form, then they want to make contact with us. Because now we've elevated into these higher frequencies, and now we're back in this physical form, and we can actually be of service. So for me, that was what my first contact was. It was after I had the near-death experience, which was really came about through meditation and practicing many esoteric practices of transitioning out of the physicality of form, that lit up to my star family, what I call my star family race, which is just benevolent beings from other dimensional realms. And that's how I ended up having my first contact.
All right. We're going to come back in a moment, Lori, and continue talking about human awakening. And then we'll take calls with you next hour here on Coast to Coast AM. But we will be right back. We're going to take your calls next hour with Lori Espana as we talk about animals, the afterlife. And, of course, we're going to talk about human awakening when we come back. So get ready for that as well. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you. Lori Espana back with us, of course. Her website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. At the end of the program, we'll tell you about some free gifts she's got available for you as well. Ascension and awakening of humanity. Tell me what that means, Lori.
Well, humanity is undergoing a massive shift of consciousness right now. So we're in a very early part of that phase, which actually I would say began in the 60s. The 1960s, with the birth of like the hippie movement, and that was the initial awakening, start of the awakening. And it's been suppressed a lot. It's been held back. There's a lot of attempts to sort of hold us back. But it's on. It's happening, and we're having huge wake up calls. We can see that in the external reality, and our old reality is in a process of collapse, while a new reality. And in all new elements of this new reality are being birthed, and they're happening simultaneously, and it's happening across all of our systems and structures. Politically, you know, in terms of our geography, in terms of our schooling systems, our medical systems, our financial systems, everything. And internally, personally, we're beginning to realize that the external world is a reflection of the internal world. So we're making a shift from external living, where we believe everything is entirely physical, to internal living, where we realize everything in the external world will be changing for the better as we change from the inside out.
Is that what you mean by third versus fifth dimension?
Yeah, the third dimension is this old paradigm that's a fear-based paradigm that's entirely based in physicality. And in the third dimensional paradigm, we're living in a hierarchical, patriarchal, oligarchical, you know, system and structure that's based in service to self, you know, thinking about the self to the harm or detriment of the many, regardless of how the many may be hurt. And in this system, we basically, this old system, you know, external authorities, we give our power to external authorities. And in the new system, as it's being birthed, we reclaim our power as we recognize that everything is within us and that we have the ability to make change. But the reclamation of that power must come through a process of discovering from within ourselves our sovereign ability to come into a sort of divine neutrality where we no longer polarize, where we realize that from within us we can change everything through our consciousness.
We live in a third dimension life, don't we, generally?
Yeah, we're living in a physical world. And that doesn't change. What changes is the idea that things in the non-physical don't exist. What changes is we start to realize the non-physical is even more powerful, in a sense, than the physical.
Why do we cut off the dimensions at five? Why not six or seven?
We don't. We don't have to. We're just getting to that sort of jumping off point, because the fifth dimension is where we start realizing, where we start incorporating both physical and non-physical in all our engagements and everything we do. And we shift out of this fear-based reality and into realizing that everything is love, peace, and joy, and getting out of this polarity of the, you know, I think this is one of those areas that humanity really is going to make the biggest shift. And by the way, this is what the animals are really showing us, that everything is a mirror. Everything. We live in a massive hall of mirrors. So everything we see and perceive in our external world is a reflection of what we see inside ourselves, or what exists within ourselves. So as we shift out of thinking that we're separate from everyone and everything, and we start realizing that we're connected to everyone and everything, because everyone and everything is a reflection of what we see and perceive and where we vibrate energetically, whatever our vibration is, our energetic signature, that change is how we will have a different experience externally. And that is 5D. That's 5D. But we can go way past that. Think about sixth dimension is like universal laws. That's where the Akashic records are, by the way. And then when you get into these other dimensional realms, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, that's where all of our benevolent star family races are, extraterrestrials, right, who are benevolent. Not those old, like, you know, grays and those ones who are much more Drax, reptilians. Those are much more 3D based. And so we don't have to stop at five to answer your question. It goes way beyond that. It's potentially infinite, but we're just learning how to access, you know, mostly to anchor ourselves in 5D, where we no longer operate from just this total separation and polarity. Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
Yeah.
Does science look at this too?
I think that's the big discovery right now. Science is trying to figure all this out. But quantum physics gets it, right? Any quantum physicist gets this, that from a quantum physicist perspective, all it is just awareness. It's just non-physical energy that has a vibrational rate, right? Everything is vibrational consciousness. So, you know, from quantum physics, from that perspective, they get it. But where science doesn't get it is that old Newtonian type of science that's still, like, Western medicine is still following, and our old science books and schooling, you know, medical systems are still following that old system. Does that make sense?
Lori, one of our favorite words, consciousness. Explain to us what you believe consciousness to be.
Well, what I would like people to know is even beyond consciousness is pure awareness. In reality, all of us, every one of us is pure awareness. And it is our awareness that perceives our reality. And consciousness is just the degree to which we are consciously aware of what we are perceiving and how we are interpreting that, and then what we do with our interpretation. So this is, again, this is a major part of what animals are really helping us with, because their awareness, they don't have to analyze their experience. They just have consciousness about what they perceive. So if they feel something or sense something, or they pick up on something that their human is experiencing, or they pick up something that's going on in the earth, they have a knowing, an awareness of it, and their awareness is so pure, it doesn't require any analyzation. So the more, to me, the more conscious we are, the more consciously aware we are, the more we are consciously able to change our perspective to something that we desire it more to be.
Where does DNA fit into this, Lori?
Where the DNA fits into this is that our old paradigm is operating with two strands of DNA, right? Our genetics and basically the ancestral stories that are passed down, right? That's what we inherit. And what we're starting to do in this new paradigm now is awaken and activate what's been dormant, that science has called, up until 2012, they called the junk DNA, the additional 10 strands. They called it junk. In 2012, enough credible scientists published in credible scientific journals that additional 10 strands are not junk, that in fact they're just dormant, waiting to be awakened. And they're trying to determine what that is. And that's why, I mean, that's why there's just so much desire to capture DNA right now, because people are trying to study what is this DNA good for. But the higher truth of it is that people are starting to realize is that this DNA has all kinds of solutions for basically whatever's going on in humanity's world. We have codes. We have information in that DNA. For example, and this is not studied by science or not known yet, to my knowledge anyway, that we have codes of immunity and imperviousness in there. Immunity and imperviousness to anything, virus, any kind of virus. But it needs to be activated. And the way we activate it is with our consciousness. We have to first be aware that it's in there. Otherwise, it's just dormant, junk, formerly called junk, but now dormant, right? So once we become aware that it's there, with our consciousness, we can actively engage in awakening it. And then we start walking around. The DNA starts sending information to the body, the physical form, that it's immune and impervious to any and all forms of virus, for example, or any shedding, or even 5G. But this part's not known by science. They don't know it yet, not to my knowledge.
They're baffled by it, aren't they?
I think that's what they're trying to figure out. I think that's why, like, there's a lot of, DNA in me, Ancestry in me, a lot of these DNA collection organizations, they're being purchased by the CIA. Why? Because they're trying to study the DNA to figure this stuff out. But in reality, these people who are, like, of this old paradigm, who basically their primary agenda is service to self, at the harm and expense of the many, that they really can't figure it out. They're not going to be able to, because the fascinating thing about this DNA is that it will not be revealed for purposes of harm or detriment to others. It can only be revealed through the personal process of awakening through love. That's why within the heart center of every human. Funny thing is, like, if you know the chakras, which you've probably talked about this lots of times,
sure,
that center has, as an energy center, is the only energy center that has two colors, vibrationally speaking. So that's because it connects us with the old paradigm. It's like a portal to the new paradigm. And in order to activate these higher strands of DNA, and also in order to access these higher dimensional realms that you mentioned earlier, we have to go through the heart center. We have to go through the compassionate love in our own heart center. So in other words, somebody who's trying to access this information for the harm to many, they won't be able to find it.
What is
literally written in there?
What is your definition of a starseed?
My definition of a starseed is someone who knows themselves as a being who's connected to the stars, to benevolent star families.
Aren't we our stars, all of us starseeds in some way?
I think we are all. I think that is the kind of the running, in a way, like I say it like this with a little bit of jest, it's sort of like a little bit of a joke. Like we are, planet Earth is the planet of all interdimensional races from all kinds of star planetary bodies, and that's what's encoded into the DNA. All of our lineage from not only the past in our human reality and even prior to that, but into the future of who we evolve into. And that includes the star family races who are most benevolent, who are helping us from the higher dimensional realms.
Well, that's pretty dramatic. But why doesn't science get into this?
It is dramatic. It is so dramatic. But this is part of the shift. It's so progressive that it's hard for us to believe. You know, it's so out there. And yet, unprogressive, you know, in progressive communities like this, where we're more open-minded, we're trying to discover this. But of course, you're right. Science doesn't have this validated yet. And we do hope that they'll be able to validate it, because still, so many people, that's what we look to believe that something is real.
Interesting take. We're going to take calls next hour with Lori. That includes, of course, talking about animals, the afterlife, telepathy, and human awakening as well. Since you've been doing this, have you come across anything dramatic in your own personal life?
Oh, yeah. How much time do you have?
You've got a couple minutes.
One of the most amazing things that happened very recently, actually, was I lead retreats in Arkansas and over the crystal waters there. And I've been doing this for a number of years. In 1 year, I was there on the lake bed. And while I was sort of just sitting, I wasn't even in deep meditation, really, not at all, but just lightly, just relaxing over the lake where all the crystals are, because they are basically record keepers holding knowledge and information from not only our past but also into our future. I saw like blasts of light coming both up from the lake and basically in a way down into the lake, and I saw these windows or what I would call like portals, doorways opening and closing all over the lake. This did not happen for just 30 seconds. This went on for hours. And as they did, I could see these light codes being dropped down into the lake, which I could understand was going into the crystals, and at the same time coming up out from the crystals. It was like portals opening. When I asked this just psychically, because again, whenever we're dealing with psychic information, most of the time we don't have scientific evidence of this stuff. But what I was told was, this is where the star beings come. This is one place so that we can put this information and knowledge into the crystals, encode it like record keepers, so that people can access it when they start working with crystals. And because the crystals do help activate DNA for people.
When they learn how to do this, they can do amazing things, can't they?
Yes, I think what my knowing is that we have the solutions to all of Earth's problems stored up within ourselves, within our own DNA. And that's why the DNA, again, is such a prized possession right now. It's the most prized possession on Earth.
Book still available?
Important thing we have. Is it still available?
Your books.
Oh, sorry? Say that again?
Are your books still available?
Oh, they're on Amazon.
Okay. Amazon has them all, right? All right, well, stay with us, Lori. We're going to come back in a moment here and take questions regarding animals, telepathy, human consciousness, You name it, we've got it. In just a moment on Coast to Coast AM, her website is her name, linked up at coasttocoastam.com.